Rush 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The administration makes a choice. President-elect Donald Trump picking longtime campaign co-chair Susie Wiles as his chief of staff.
Susie has been at the campaign for many years, since the beginning. The question is, how does she transition that role from a role in the campaign into the White House, managing the Oval Office? Will she be able to do that effectively with her boss in the West Wing? That is the big question, and we'll see how her management style is and if she's effective in that way.
ABC's Catherine Folder is at Mar-a-Lago. Three people have now been charged in connection with the death of One Direction member Liam Payne. They are accused of supplying and facilitating the use of narcotics, as well as abandonment of a person followed by death. Payne fell from his balcony on the third floor of a Buenos Aires hotel. Five hospitalized, more than 60 arrested after violence broke out following an Amsterdam soccer match. Israeli fans believed to have been targeted. An investigation underway. This is ABC News. ABC News has learned that hackers working for China broke into the phone used by one of President-elect Trump's lawyers.
New details on the length Chinese spies will go to infiltrate American politics and President-elect Trump. Multiple sources tell ABC News hackers working for China's intelligence service broke into the phone used by Trump's lead criminal defense attorney, Todd Blanche. The sources say in the lead up to the election, the hackers gained access to Blanche's text messages and captured audio recordings of some of his calls. We're told most of the communications involved family and friends, but the FBI is working to determine whether more sensitive contacts were compromised.
That's ABC News senior investigative correspondent Aaron Katursky. Questions following the Federal Reserve's quarter point interest rate cut on Thursday, the central bank suggesting some uncertainty over the pace of future cuts. Donald Trump's election win this week could reshape the economic outlook for the country and drive up prices. It could stall further rate reductions, Fed Chair Jerome Powell saying it's too soon to tell. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no
right.
Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else.
Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. After signing a multi-picture deal with Lionsgate, Taylor Sheridan is turning out TV shows at an alarming rate, such as Tulsa King, Yellowstone, The Mayor of Kingstown, 1883, 1923, and Lioness. Lioness in particular just became the fourth biggest premiere on Paramount+. The show found its way into 3 million homes in the first 7 days of its release a couple weeks ago. The show stars Zoe Saldana, Nicole Kidman, Morgan Freeman, and Michael Kelly, and is supposedly based on the CIA's actual Lioness program. If you like high-powered weaponry, military jargon, and lots of gunfire, this is the show for you. Warner Brothers Discovery is reporting that its streaming or direct-to-consumer service is booming as its theatrical business declines. The studio says it's gained over 7 million subscribers in the third quarter alone for this year, according to Screen Daily. This is the biggest gain ever for subscribers that has been reported since the launch of Max in 2020. Everyone is chasing Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks finally get a win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks snapped a six-game losing streak with a 123-100 win over the Jazz. How bad did the Bucks need this victory at home over a young 1-6 Utah Jazz team? Damian Lillard.
I think we needed it bad, desperately. You know, this is a team that came in with the same record as us, a struggling team, a much younger team than us. They coming on our home floor, so, you know, it was important for us to not only get off that six-game losing streak and feel something good, but going into this next stretch of games, you know, I think it was important for us to get back in the win column.
The Bucks are in Madison Square Garden tonight against the New York Knicks. College hoops, a 79-67 win for Wisconsin over the Montana State Bobcats, head coach Greg Gard.
Good win against a good team that's experienced. You could really tell the maturity of the older guys for them on the floor. Anytime we made a mistake on a screen, it was a three in the first half. Those things will help us.
That's the Badgers head coach, Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to the low 50s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, down to the lower 30s. Tomorrow, a little sunshine early, then clouds and showers in the afternoon with a high in the low 50s. By Sunday, cloudy with showers and a high in the upper 40s to near 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a TGIF Friday edition of the show, a board game of the week by our own Aaron Zomers and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Friday morning, November 8th, 2024. And it is another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, listening on the app or by podcast or watching us on social media, we thank you very much for starting your day and wrapping up your week right here. I've got a question for you. Are you ready for a break? Because I am. There was a time prior to Tuesday when folks looked at the calendar at work and saw that I had decided to take a vacation the week after the election. And people thought, well, that's not a good move because we may not know the winner. And if we know the winner, you'll miss a week of shows talking about what's coming up. You know, what will the Harris administration do, et cetera, et cetera. Well, we do know who won. And as a result, I now look like the smartest person in the world for taking next week and saying that's my week to decompress. Because frankly, the way things were looking, remember 2000? The election wasn't resolved until, you know, almost mid-December. So we never really knew what was happening, but we know that everybody needs to take a break. And we've been saying that a lot, even before the results came in. You've heard that a lot since Tuesday. People, we got to take a break, go touch some grass, you know, get some fresh air, reconnect with friends. All that's very important. I just happened to pick the following week to do that. And as a result, you're going to have some great folks in here next week. Todd Albaugh is going to do double duty on Monday and Tuesday. Matt Rothschild is coming in to guest host on Wednesday and Thursday. Luke Mathers on Friday. So we've got you covered for live programming with news and information. And then I will be back the following Monday to get things going. We're already lining up guests, looking ahead to 2025. And to talk about where we all go from here. Coming up on the program this morning, Kia Vakil, Courier Newsroom national correspondent. It's not that voters in the U.S. aren't special, but it turns out that American voters are just like voters in every other democracy around the world this year. We'll discuss exactly what that common bond is. Also, we will talk to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel about the impact of Donald Trump's victory from the crumbling of the investigations into election interference and classified documents to the ways that Trump will try to use executive orders to essentially be the day one dictator he's always promised. Mark Jacob reviews media coverage of election night and what led up to it. And we get a special guest, a brief visit with Kirk Bangsted, to reveal the new flagship beer for the Minocqua Brewing Company in light of recent events. All that and much more is coming up yet on this Friday morning. And you can join us along the way at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Or you can put a comment in the comment section on Facebook or YouTube. We'll see the comments there. Maybe put them up on screen. And, of course, there's always the Civic Media app where you can call or text us as well. Bus stop temperatures at 6 a.m. across Wisconsin look like this. It's 39 here on Lake Wissota, 30 in Hayward, 39 in Wausau. La Crosse is at 46, Amory 36, Wisconsin Rapids 38, Green Bay 40, Madison 43, Waukesha's at 39, and at Radio Park in Racine, it's 42 degrees, where we find Greg Bach resplendent in a Civic Media t-shirt and prepared for a weekend of hijinks and comedy at a place called The Laughing Tap, because everybody needs a laugh this week. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Hello, Pat.
He's so ready to be done with the week.
So ready for comedy.
Yes.
Yeah, we got three shows this weekend at The Laughing Tap. One tonight, two tomorrow, 7:30 tonight, 7:30 tomorrow, and 10 p.m. on Saturday tomorrow night. Laura Peake will be on the show. She'll be headlining. Sorry, my brain is oatmeal right now.
I understand.
No, yes. So Laura Peake will be headlining. She was actually just on, I think, either last night or the night before, on After Midnight. And she's done a bunch of other things, been on Comedy Central. She'll be coming through and doing three shows. It's going to be a lot of fun. Tickets are still available. $22 online, $25 at the door. No drink minimums. Come down. We can laugh. We can cry. We can hug with your consent. And we can have a good time this weekend. Yeah, we're
always
looking for
always good to get that consent.
Consent is key, everybody. That consent is key. yeah, we're going to have a good time. It will be an interesting weekend, what will be talked about, what the mood will be like. But honestly, it's, I don't know about you, Pat, but even though everything's comes crashing down to what's happening, those pockets of laughter we're having in these moments, those when you can just get into a room with like-minded people or just people looking to forget for a moment and have fun, that is worth it and a great time. So we're looking forward to it, and we hope everyone can join us this weekend.
I hope they can, too. I think it would be very much worth it. Look, there's no one right way to process what's happened this week. Just on the late-night shows alone, based on the clips that I've seen, you had Jimmy Kimmel practically weepy talking about the people who are going to be affected. But you also had Stephen Colbert saying, oh, people are telling you, God, how can you do a show? You have to do a show after this. And he says, no, 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 I get to do a show. And that, you know, we need to be together and look for ways to laugh and to look out for one another and to help each other. And Seth Meyers said somebody told him, well, you must be really happy because Trump will give you, you know, just so much material to work with. And his response was, no, that's really not how I feel at all. Somebody who cleans bathrooms for a living doesn't find out that somebody's got explosive diarrhea and they go, oh, hey, you got a lot of material to work with there, which is maybe not proper material for early morning radio, but you get where I'm coming from on this.
And I'm glad you brought that up. Everyone listening, you know, if you know, when it comes to comedy, it's good to have sources. But in this situation, and the same thing happened with George W. Bush back in the day, too, is we would happily not, we'd happily trade it. To not have to, I mean, no one has to write about it, like, as far as comedians either. Like, it's not a win for art, for my industry. It's In fact, if anything, the problem is that there was already people coming through comedy clubs being very, very terse and being very interruptive about their feelings. And I don't know if it will get worse in the coming 4 years, because now they've been given license to do what they want. So, but still, come down, hey folks.
laughingtap.com.
Alicia
writes, in person who cleans bathrooms for a living, I concur. Thank you, Alicia, appreciate that very much. Tony chiming in from Ashland, yesterday Greg said he would wear a Brewer shirt every day but today. Pat sticking with the nice red flannel. Well, you know, I got a thing.
Man, Tony, did I say I would? I don't remember. Tony is really Johnny on the spot and also just, you know, keeping me wardrobe savvy. So,
yeah.
People want to send me Brewers t-shirts, I'll take them.
We'll take any merch at this point, you know?
Yeah.
That would be kind of nice. Let's see. Let's also let you know that speaking of Matt Rothschild, who's going to be filling in here next Wednesday, Thursday, you can join Matt for a weekly dive into a topic on a new podcast from Civic Media. Get some background on how Wisconsin got where it is today, what folks are working on now, and possible ways forward on the various issues of the day. The podcast is called Wisconsin Forward, and you can catch it wherever you listen to podcasts or check out more at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. Also on the Civic Media website is Dan Schaefer's recap of Tuesday's elections, especially for seats in the Wisconsin legislature. After all, this was the guy who went through and reviewed all 115 legislative races that were on ballots this week. And so he takes a look at the winners and the losers and the balance of power that results from it. Also, I should have noted from the outset, I too am aware of what I sound like today. And I heard Todd Alba talking about it on his show yesterday. And it just seems it's one of a couple of different things. Either the folks at Civic Media should just never get in a room together, because it feels like every time there's been a company function, some folks come away with the sniffles or something like that, or it's me. And because I now work entirely from home, I do the radio show from home, you know, about once a week or so, Sherry pushes me out the door and says, go get some fresh air. Maybe I need to stay in this bubble. Maybe I no longer have the immune system to deal with the general public and go places like I did to Madison this week. Hopefully it's just a little thing, because I swear to God, if I'm starting a week off and I'm about to be sick through summer, all of it, I'm not going to be a happy man at all. It is 6:16. Let's check on sports here just very quickly to note. The Bucks have snapped the losing streak. Damian Lillard scored 34 points. Giannis scored 31 and had 16 rebounds. And the Bucks beat the Utah Jazz 123-100 on Thursday night. So the Bucks are now 2-6 on the season. They traveled right to Boston. They'll be there tonight to face the Celtics. Then they are back home on Sunday afternoon to host. You know what? Let me double check that. I may have misspoken. I think they're not in Boston. I think they're in New York taking on the Knicks. Yes, I typed that incorrectly at first. They are in New York tonight to play the Knicks, 6:30 tip-off, and then Sunday they're at home hosting the Boston Celtics. That Sunday afternoon game is at 2:30. Got some Badger sports to tell you about as well, things that you can find on the Civic Media Radio Network, and that would be basketball. The Badger men won their game against Montana State last evening. They are in action again Sunday afternoon against Appalachian State. Coverage begins Sunday at 10 a.m., on Civic Media stations in Amory, Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center. And the Badger men's hockey team hosts the Minnesota Gophers this evening at 6:30 and tomorrow at 5:30 on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. And you can also catch that on the Civic Media app. Plus, no shortage of high school sports that you can hear on stations across the Civic Media radio network and on the app as well. So give that, if you haven't downloaded it yet, you really, really should. There's just so, it's so easy to listen to all the different shows and learn more about Civic Media and the stations and the programs, because not every station has the same thing on at the same time. Others do, like, you know, Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney. He's going to be joining us in the next hour to talk about Amicus, a law review, as we go over some of those issues that surround the results of the presidential election. All right, we're going to unpack some more of today's headlines coming up in just a bit, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Friday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the new staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, but I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Bonnie Raitt has a birthday today. We'll talk more about her and everything else in today's history lesson coming up in about 30 minutes here on Up North News Radio. Greg, is it too early? I mean, we're just off the election, and I see that already a couple of radio stations are playing Christmas music. Too soon?
I'm glad you asked that question, Pat. You see, on Matt and Air on Air, available Civic Media Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon with Jane Matt and Air and myself, we have a segment at the end of the show called This Shouldn't Be a Thing, and we did cover that, I think, this week. Everything's a blur. Time is an illusion. But yeah, we talked about that, and Jane was definitely in the – and remember something too, folks. Jane has been in radio for a very long time, and she's been through the when the Halloween lights come down, the Christmas lights go up, and we're playing Christmas music until the new year. So I can totally understand why that would be too much. But for me personally, I don't mind it because I enjoy Christmas music. So I'm here for it.
I think part of it, too, is that it gives it not to take anything away from Christmas and the significance of it.
Pat Kreitlow hates Christmas.
That's what people are going to say when I go. I think it's a way to cope with winter itself. Mm. That, you know, that it makes winter, the harshness, a little shorter. It just, things get so bleak when Christmas is done, the lights come down and it's dark and it's cold. And so anything that helps make the season feel a little warmer, if that means talking about all the goodness of the holiday, then that's a really good thing. So
I think we need it even more so this year too, I would say.
You're saying we need a little Christmas this very minute?
I'm saying we need a little more joy and sharing and happiness. We're going to need to share that with each other over the next couple months into the next 300 years. I have no idea.
Joy. We need more joy.
We need more joy.
Need more joy, which gets us into the notion in talking this week about the campaign and, you know, what happened to the campaign of joy, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, and they were joyful and meanwhile they were calling Donald Trump weird and unstable and unhinged. And there are people who were kind of bothered by the tone of the speeches from Kamala Harris and from President Joe Biden this week. when they were trying to reassure folks that things will be okay. And you have to understand what a tightrope that is. Because if you say things are going to be okay, then some folks are saying in response, well, wait, you said it wasn't going to be okay. You said he's unstable. He's unhinged. Were you lying the whole time? No, no, they weren't doing that. By the same token, if you're using your reaction to do nothing but relitigate the campaign, you look like a whiner. And so you have to strike that balance of saying we're respecting the election results. And I thought the vice president said it well, like we concede the election, we do not concede the fight. And we just have to continue doing what we're doing. And that is fighting for, you know, people who are, you know, working families, fighting for the marginalized and in, you know, vulnerable situations. But there has been a lot of blame to go around. There's been people blaming President Biden for not dropping out soon enough. There are people blaming those who pushed Joe Biden to drop out of the race. There are people blaming Vice President Harris for playing it too safe after the debate, basically the last month of the campaign. She crushed Trump in the debates, and some say she started playing it too safe and that she lost a lot of that economic populism about, you know, corporate America gouging consumers, and you didn't hear as much about that, that maybe they were coasting a little bit. You cannot deny that racism and sexism played a role for some voters. That's, I mean, anybody that recoils at that notion, that might be you. Because you can't deny that once again, when you have problems with a woman and then a black woman getting elected and underperforming every other Democrat on the ballot in most instances, there's something there. What really bugs me in the category of sexism are what I'm going to call the bro flakes. These are one of the criticisms I've heard the past couple of days is, well, you call us Nazis and you call us fascists and you call us, you know, all these names. And I mean, how can you think that that won't have a backlash? Dude. This is not a chicken and egg situation where we don't know who is calling who names first. We know who it was. We know it's the one that has flags that say F your feelings on it. I mean, you guys are the root of name calling in this. You can be opposed to things, but the let's go Brandon stuff started really early over here. Okay, now that's just on the name calling. When you get to the labels like fascism, again, we've already gone through this. If you don't want to be described as fascist or tiptoeing around fascism, then don't do the things and don't espouse the things that make us worry that you might be fascist. We're going to be watching on the afternoon of January 20th very closely. Because President Trump, President-elect Trump, said plenty of times he's going to be a dictator on day one. What he meant by that is the things that he can do with the stroke of a pen through executive order, he's going to do. And I don't think we're going to have like one or two of them for symbolic purposes. I think he's going to take the oath of office. He's going to deliver a blistering inaugural address. People say, and give him a chance to bring the country together. He is not. Okay. Look, I'm going to be open. If he says the right words, that's fine. But then he's got to follow it up with deeds. I'm not going to judge this guy on his inaugural address. But what does he do in the hours afterwards that are going to be very key? And so, again, if you don't want to hear a discussion about fascism, that's not name calling. That is an actual policy discussion. And then the last one under all of the categories of who's to blame, I just keep coming back to that right-wing media ecosystem that's out there and how toxic it is. I would point to one poll that asked voters factual questions about inflation, crime, and immigration. The people who answered those questions incorrectly were more likely to vote for Trump, and the ones who answered factual questions correctly preferred Vice President Harris. And why were they incorrect? Again, that's not subjective, it's objective. Why were they wrong? You have a right-wing media system that's pounding them relentlessly. And it's why we are just getting started at Up North News and Civic Media. Kiev Akil is next.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Waba.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
So what do you think? Are some of our international customers trying to buy this calendar year before the Trump administration's in place? I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. One dairy analyst sees some of that activity. He'll explain next.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. This week's contestant already looks like a winner, Jim. He's sporting a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist corn t-shirt. Well, with an advanced combination of exclusive genetics at his side, this should be an easy 3 points. Like three distinct modes of action against above ground pests. All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Start your best year yet. Visit pioneer.com/nopests.
Right after the election, we saw a flurry of activity in a few of our commodities, but it didn't necessarily include dairy. That's according to Zach Bowers, broker analyst with EverAg out of Chicago.
What we could potentially see here up front, and I think that's kind of what our eyes are on, is, hey, are we going to see some front loading happening, right? We got a couple months before inauguration happens. Are you going to see some people load up on products? You know, is Mexico going to come in and load up on cheese here now, even if they think price is going lower, knowing that tariffs are probably coming? I think that's probably what we could see happen here. And then I think kind of just to flow right into that, whether they want to front load or not, we're the cheapest in the world on cheese perspective by 20 to 40 cents.
So is it price or position when it comes to dairy positioning right now? That's Zach Bowers, broker analyst with EverAg. Yesterday, the barrel cheese dropped a penny to $1.80. 40-pound block cheese was unchanged at $1.75. Double A butter dropped a penny and a quarter to $2.66 and a quarter per pound. What's happening in overnight electronic trade? That's next.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Well, there might be some profit-taking on Wall Street this morning. Dow Jones Industrial Average currently a little lower. December corn is unchanged, 428. March corn unchanged, 441. January beans are down 7.5 at 1019. November new crop next year beans down 7 at 1042. December wheat's down 3 at 568. July new crop wheat down 4.5 at 601. And December Class 3 milk going into cheese up 21 cents right now at 1944 a hundredweight. Just a quick market snapshot on a Friday. I'm PM Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to the low 50s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, down to the lower 30s. Tomorrow, a little sunshine early, then clouds and showers in the afternoon with a high in the low 50s. By Sunday, cloudy with showers and a high in the upper 40s. To near 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that? And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, Civic Media's own Earl Ingram Jr. will join me. We'll talk about what comes next in the Trump administration. Plus, is Donald Trump our retribution or our reckoning? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Okay, we're back. What do you say we bring this weekend for a landing and a visit with Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil? A bit about the issues of the week behind the election, some more of the results from it, and then we can really carry on and get to what's next. Kia, hello, how are you?
I am all right, Pat. How are you?
I'm all right as well. Like I said, we're at the end of the week, and we can only do so much more with this. Otherwise, it gets rightly referred to as navel gazing, and we don't want to do that. But here's where I want to start, simply because it was a word that hit me early on, and I tried to rail against it, and ultimately, with the word being vibes, it was a vibes election. You know, we can talk later how those vibes came to be, whether they were based on fact or fiction, but it is safe to say that Dems need to figure out vibes. I don't know how else to put it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing I'm struck by is, well, two things. One, pretty much the world over, any country that had an election this year, in a democratic country, the incumbent either lost, the person who's been the incumbent during the post-COVID era either lost or their party lost a lot of seats. And what that tells me is that the vibes all around the world are just bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth noting that's the first time that has happened since World War II that every major democracy, the ruling party either lost power or lost share of power. So when we talked about inflation actually being a global thing, not a Biden thing, the same goes for how the electorate feels around the world. We're just finally joining the rest of the class.
Yeah, and I think if you zoom out from like our day-to-day political discussions and think about the pandemic and just the absolute upheaval it caused, I think we don't give that enough credit for just how much it's affecting daily life still and political life. You know, there are all sorts of people dealing with long COVID, the psychological long-term toll of just that year being, you know, traumatic. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've driven in any city roads recently, but there's road rage everywhere. Like, just that has had an impact. Inflation all around the world. People do not like higher prices. We have learned that. And again, these are global phenomenons. And I think there's just very much like a throw the bums out, like, so to speak, to leaders right now. It doesn't matter what party you're in. There are one or two examples of people defying that trend, in Mexico, notably. But in general, there has just been a wave of anger towards people who've overseen the last 3 to 4 years. And some of that's justified. Some of it's just bad luck for the people who happen to be in office at that time. Some of it, you know, is vibes. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of conversations to be had and will be had in the Democratic Party. And I also think, and should be had, frankly, there are things that are a very fair game for criticism and how campaigns were run this year. But a lot of it is just a bad political environment for whoever's in charge, and that happened to be Democrats. And I don't, unfortunately, think the Biden administration particularly did the best job of trying to push back on to deal with the problems.
Yeah, no, as we talked about with Joe Zepecki yesterday, it's an entirely different conversation, talking the difference between passing good policy and talking about policy, which kind of gets you to the vibe, how people feel, especially when maybe you did some good things, but it's not instant gratification. It's, you know, these things take time to set in. And if you're not remembering that, then you're not going to get proper credit at election time. You've got to do things in the short term as well as the long term. And like I said, there's going to be a million conversations about this. The outgoing president spoke about the need for mutual respect. You had a gracious concession speech from Vice President Harris. And you've not had Democrats in the streets with torches and pitchforks, you know, saying that this has all been a big fraudulent election. So in that sense, in that purely textbook sense, democracy actually took a step forward because of, you know, the way the losses have been handled.
Yeah, I mean, I was prepared. I think we all at Courier were prepared to spend the next 2 months, even in a world where Trump had won, like very narrowly won. We were preparing for a lot of coverage of like lawsuits and all this other stuff, certainly if he lost. And because Democrats are willing to admit defeat when they lose at the hands of voters, we're not dealing with that. And that's how it should be. Like 2022, we didn't really deal with that. It's only when Trump loses. And that is alarming. Like, and I hope that we don't see that anymore, where in 2028, the Republican candidate for president loses. Concede defeat, for the love of God. The system works. You know, the Democratic vote counting process works. And, you know, they're never going to admit that it was nonsense, the way they claimed fraud after 2020. They're never going to admit that, you know, Trump was full of it and lying and lost, but they should. That's what happened. He won this time. If Democrats were going to rig it, if the media was going to rig it, if poll workers were going to rig it in 2020, why wouldn't they have rigged it this time? It's just nonsense. And so Joe Biden is right. Kamala Harris is right about that. You know, the process worked. Democrats lost. Republicans won. Sometime again, Republicans will lose. And admitting defeat is part of that.
Yeah. I mean, even when you are defeated on, again, coming back to this notion of there's still a lot of people out there that want to either claim or pretend that 2020 featured fraud. But again, democracy took a step forward in that sense. Let's talk about some winners and losers, just things that we might have missed outside of Wisconsin. So let's start with other victories. Tammy Baldwin, of course, winning in a state where Donald Trump also won. But as you look around the rest of the country, what are some of the other noteworthy victories?
Yeah, I mean, the Senate Democrats in swing states, largely like Tammy Baldwin, overperforming and winning, is a story that the polls showed what might happen this year and did happen. You have Alyssa Slotkin winning in Michigan. You have Jackie Rosen, who's pretty much on lock to win in Nevada. Ruben Gallego is running far ahead of Harris in Arizona, and he's going to win. It looks like Bob Casey will lose just narrowly in Pennsylvania, but that is not official yet. So that is one story where you're seeing Senate Democrats do quite well. The only states they've lost right now officially are Montana, Ohio, and West Virginia, which are red states at this point. So there has not been a single swing state where a Democrat running statewide has lost a major election this year. And so that might happen when Casey's race is called, but that is something that stands out to me because it shows that this is not a universal rejection of Democrats. It is a very specific, to put it frankly, rejection of Biden/Harris. And that's unfortunate, but it's not doom and gloom for Democrats forever.
So you're trying to tell me as well that in North Carolina, the self-described black Nazi did not get elected governor?
He did not. He got his clock cleaned, as everyone expected. And not only did he lose, the Republican nominee for attorney general, who is not nearly as extreme as Mark Robinson, but it's not far off. He is an election denier. He was anti-abortion, anti-LGBTQ. Dan Bishop, he lost the race for attorney general there. We had their, you know, really far right anti-public school candidate for position that leads public schools in North Carolina. They lost. So there are bright spots, you know. Nevada's three competitive congressional races, the Democratic incumbents all won. You're seeing a lot, like Missouri legalized abortion, restored abortion rights. Florida would have if it was a Democratic state that didn't require 60% approval to pass amendments. So there are things out there to look at and be, oh, like that's a positive outcome. It's just the top of the ticket. And, you know, unfortunately, Senate map was really rough for Democrats.
Yeah, and we knew that going in, and that's where you see, yep. you know, John Tester losing in Montana, Sherrod Brown losing in Ohio, who always struck me in kind of a Russ Feingold way, where yep. Republicans would go, well, I probably disagree with a lot of his stuff, but he's you know, working hard to be a good public servant. And I think that served him well for a while, but definitely not in this particular environment. And yep. If I read right, the Republican that beat him is just basically, a car salesman who's been known for, you know, being fraudulent with customers. So it seems to be on brand, unfortunately. So you've got the Senate switching to Republican control, and it's still too early to really know what's happening with the House, right?
It is too early. You would rather be Republicans right now, I think, looking at the numbers and the races, but it's too early. But the odds suggest they are likely to retain their majority by similar margins to what they have now. They might expand it very, very narrowly, a seat or two, but it's not going to be some major gain for either party. If Democrats win control, it'll just be, maybe by one or two seats. So we'll know more when, California and Arizona are still counting a lot of votes, Washington still counting votes, or like the Western states that heavily vote by mail. So it's going to take potentially a week or two to fully know, but you'd rather be the Republicans right now.
Let me make this prediction, and I wouldn't necessarily put money on it, but if Republicans take the House, however small the majority, but it is a Republican House or Republican Senate and a Republican in the White House. My prediction is that Republicans, especially since Mitch McConnell won't be the leader anymore, they're going to get rid of the filibuster. They're going to get rid of any chance that Democrats, will filibuster and they need 60 votes to get anything done. Basically, the thing that a lot of us Democrats said some years back, it's like, get rid of that thing. And of course, didn't. They wanted to play by the rules and norms and everything. And Republicans are liable to just blow it up and say, those norms don't matter. We're going to do everything with 52 votes or whatever it is that they end up having. Feel free to disagree with me, but I fear that's what's going to take place.
This is an interesting moment where I'm going to be the more optimistic person in the room and actually disagree with you. I think, let me explain why. I don't think they would preserve it for good reasons, but like, they actually care about institutions or whatnot. I think, frankly, the only policy they really care to pass is a corporate tax cut, and they can do, or for the super rich, they've already talked about it, that's their first thing in the first 100 days. And they can do that through reconciliation, which only requires 50 votes, 51 votes. So, I could be wrong. I would never put it past congressional Republicans or Donald Trump to not try to end the filibuster. But my immediate instinct is they're going to just do what they do. And if they want to try to repeal some of the Biden era spending laws, they can also do that through reconciliation. And a lot of what they want to get done of like gutting labor productions, they can do through regulations. I think they'll keep the filibuster because they know at some point Democrats will take charge again. And the filibuster protects Republicans from progressive policy.
Yeah, no, it's a very fair point to make, and we'll see what eventually happens here come January. So I wanted to close on whatever positive note you want to bring here, and I'll put it to you this way. What did you like most about covering the 2024 elections?
It's interesting. There's a lot I didn't like. So
I thought you were going to give me the cliche, the friends we made along the way or something like that.
So for me, this is my second presidential election covering it in some fashion. And I'll be totally honest, 2020 is a blur in my head that I could not tell you what happened between the months of June and November. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because it was the pandemic and that was just a miserable, horrible year. And, there were no campaign events. Everything was on Zoom. And so this cycle having events and reporters and rallies and crowds and, different sorts of, chaotic developments. I feel like I covered the full scope of this political spectrum of what could happen in a presidential year. We had a lot happen, different candidates coming in and out. But ultimately, honestly, it was like working with reporters and just all the work we did talking to normal people at rallies and events and, the optimism and the hope they had, some of which has been quashed, but some of which will linger. I think that's what I'll remember.
Yeah, there was a very concerted effort, as there is at Courier Newsroom, to try to bring news to places where people aren't normally looking for news. And TikTok was definitely one of those platforms. And we made such an effort to flood TikTok with the voices of regular voters about what was important to them. And you're right, that was a very enjoyable thing to work with our reporters here in Wisconsin and you with the reporters nationally. And so I think it's only right that we end on that positive note to keep trying to bring those voices to folks out there in the internet sphere, the Twitterverse, as it were. Kia Vakil, thank you so much for everything. Greatly appreciate it. Hope you have a very restful weekend.
You too, Pat. Thank you.
We'll be back with more after this. You're up north.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
He's a comedian, a writer, and an actor, and teaches comedy, one of Wisconsin's own. Dobie Maxwell joins me here on Nightlight. Hey, Dobe.
Pete Schwabba, I am Chico. You're the man. Can you hear me? Is my Amish wood-burning computer plugged into the...
You got Amish. Oh, you got to update, buddy. I got gas powered and it's working like a charm. So it'll change your life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Nick of Time is just one of my favorite albums. Here's the title track off that.
You know, Pat, there's a lot of artists who came out in the 70s who had like raw rock and roll sounds. And
yeah,
when they did their 80s output, it could get milk, like watered down. Like, not, you're like, ugh, this is not the band I liked 10 years ago.
Right.
Her, even with this very 80s background, her voice still cuts through with that, just that. Oh, that bluesy tone.
Mm-hmm. It is, I want to say 1992, so you got that 80s influence on there.
Yeah.
It holds up. I still listen to this album front to back if I'm on a car ride or something. Bonnie Raitt is 74 years old today. Happy birthday to her. This one's weird. Gordon Ramsay, the very angry chef, is 58, which means he's younger than me. I would not have picked that. You know, another one like that, 58 or 59, Boris Johnson. Remember the old the prime minister? I look at these guys, I'm like, you guys are younger than me? I'm not putting myself on a pedestal. I'm saying you guys were ridden hard and put away wet. You know, that just...
Well, I mean, the
happy birthday.
the life of chefs, man. There, that's hardcore life, right?
Oh
there.
Gosh, yes,
and
yes.
Boris Johnson's just evil. That's what that does to you. So
that could be it. What does Tony say here? Rage keeps him young. Oh yeah, I know some people who will never die. Then you know, at that point. So happy birthday, Gordon Ramsay. Looking good, man. 58 years old today. Ricky Lee Jones is 70 years old today.
I expect Leon Redbone to be in the back going,
might be for all you know. Ricky Lee Jones, 70 today. We're doing melancholy election history this week, apparently, because it was on this day in 2016 that Hillary Clinton won the popular vote.
What?
But lost to a guy named Donald Trump. I know. I don't have to read everything in the history. Sometimes I do anyway.
Yeah, thanks.
Cancer took away this person way too soon. Minnie Riperton was born this day in 1947. She passed away in 1979 and left behind a very young daughter that you now know as Maya Rudolph, who played Kamala Harris in all the Saturday Night Live skits this fall. On this day in 1967, Nilsson recorded a song that would later be heard in the movie Midnight Cowboy.
Oh, God. That guitar intro.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's talking at me. So I have a question.
Yes.
I don't hear words. You've referred, and I see the album cover here, called Nilsson.
Yeah.
Was Nilsson the band, or did he just call himself Nilsson?
That's a great question.
Welcome to the history and quizzery.
I'm just going to go with Harry Nilsson, and that for some reason he didn't put Harry on there.
Okay, perfect.
Fair enough?
Yeah.
All right. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. That's the correction line. Midnight Cowboy, the only X-rated film to win the Oscar for Best Picture. On this day in 1969, the number one song was by The Fifth Dimension. And I play it mostly, I will look for any reason to play Marilyn McCoo. I just love her voice. Fifth Dimension had the number one song this day in 1969. There weren't a lot of birthdays today. I had to reach way back to tell you that on this day in 1836, Milton Bradley, who founded, conveniently enough, the Milton Bradley Company, which gave us all kinds of board games.
When I was little, I thought the name was Milt and Bradley, like it was a guy named Milt and a guy named Bradley.
Nope, just one guy, and he loved his board games. 1836. SZA, the singer, is 34 years old today. Kind of wish now that I could look back at all my history notes here, because this is SZA,
yeah.
And was it Sia whose birthday? And I mispronounced her name earlier this year. I got the two of them mixed up.
Well, you also thought Iron Maiden was Metallica, Pat. Come on.
Well, yeah. I mean, duh. SZA was born Solana Rowe in St. Louis. She studied marine biology and then held down a series of odd jobs before making it big as a singer-songwriter. And again, she's 34 years old today. This is National Cappuccino Day.
Oh.
Oh, la-di-da. This is STEAM Day, for Science, Technology, Education, Math, Education Day. This is World Radiology Day, which when Sherry was going through med school and residency and you explore all these different areas that you could specialize in, some people know what they want to be right away. Others, they go through all the rotations.
Yeah.
And I remember her coming out of the radiology one saying, wow, you know, this would you basically sit in a room and you look through all these things. You look at the X-rays and you look at whatever. And what am I seeing here? And you have to identify it. And she loved the idea, but it's so much desk work that she's like, I got to be doing a little bit more. So sure, OBGYN, there's nothing desk job about that, you know. Couldn't have gone more opposite.
Yeah.
And this is, but again, they do wonderful work. You could not possibly get through life without them in the sphere now. And this is World Pianist Day. So you piano players with good enunciation, happy Pianist Day to you. Kirk Bangstad, Jim Santel, Mark Jacob, Dan Schumacher, all coming up next in the second hour of Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
Maggie Dawn.
Matt Rothschild guest hosts the Maggie Dawn Show, and he'll be joined by Terry Barr for what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is the Buzz of the North,
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.